Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back, Army sports fans. It hasn't been a long, cold winter because it's been a long, hot summer, but it feels like it's been a long, cold winter because we have not had football. But after this past week, we saw Florida State lose to Georgia Tech, and that means that right around the corner, we have Army football. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan, in Houston, Texas this week, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and James in Oklahoma. Gentlemen, it's been a minute. How are we doing?
Good, man. I told you offline, we dropped our kids at college this past weekend. And then my wife and I went to the aquarium where we used to take the kids when they were little. That was kind of a dumb thing to do. So
Have you been crying all week, Dan?
Trying to stay out of my feelings. Let me put it that way. And I'm ready for some Army football to fully distract me from how empty and big and empty my house feels right now.
Gotcha. Rob?
Yeah, man. Just looking forward to the season kicking off. I think week zero was a good taste of how the 2024 season is going to go. So I think this one's going to be a wild football season. And we seem to say that every year, but like this one might actually live up to expectations.
With NIL and the transfer portal and all that in full swing with the new conference realignment, and the new 12-team playoff, this is going to be a weird season. James?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what being a conference member looks like in a conference that's sort of at our level and where we can compete for a championship throughout the season, where we're tracking not only the Army game that week, but maybe a team that we don't even play, but we're vying against for a conference championship spot. So it'll be a fun one. It'll be an interesting one, and I'm excited.
Good deal. Yeah, it's going to be a different year, so stay tuned. We have preview for this week, and then stay tuned throughout the year as we kind of help you break down what's going on in terms of conference and this and that. And, you know, we also have our roundtable podcast where we're going to break down kind of the wider college football. But excited to dive into it with you guys this season. Rob, why don't you get us started with our first sponsor?
Absolutely. So if you are PCSing into the Fort Liberty area, i.e. the mothership, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they are in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Now that sounds like a read, and it actually is, but she's like closed over 200 plus houses in 5 years, which is pretty doggone good. Yeah, so that's very good for you if she's on your side. Jocelyn is also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving anywhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She can refer you to somebody else that could get you along the way. There are some referral services that other people provide, but it's just not going to be the same level of care. And oh, by the way, it's a West Point graduate who is someone you can trust. So she's decided to sponsor us here at Ask for Football this year, and she can help you get into the home of your dreams. Look, it doesn't matter if you're moving to Fort Liberty, as mentioned before, but if you are moving anywhere in the country, that means cadets, empty nesters, or anyone else looking for a place to stay, she is a really good asset to leverage. So I will pass it back over to you guys. Thanks.
Rob, for those of us who are not in the military and have not been for a minute, Fort Liberty used to be Fort Bragg, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you for clarifying that. Okay. All right. Hey, well, awesome. Thank you for that read. Glad we are able to connect with Jocelyn. Let's talk Army football, right? So the team had their final scrimmage of the summer on this past Friday. Ken seemed impressed with the offense during the game based on some of his comments and stuff like that on social media and the content he puts out. But then he interviewed Coach Munkin, and Coach Munkin seemed pissed about just about everything, which, to be fair, is not an unusual expression for Coach Munkin, especially after kind of the first scrimmage. We also know that the scrimmage came right after the ring ceremony, so a lot of firsties were probably distracted. our sense is, you know, Coach probably wanted to find faults in the team as they prep for an FCS team who were supposed to, expected to, hopefully destroy. I think that's been kind of a theme of the Jeff Munkin era is, you know, he's not satisfied. That's something we've seen with other coaches in football, too. I mean, you look at Nick Saban, you know, he'll be up by 40 points and he'll tell you, that, oh, you know, we missed a block here, we missed a block there. Munkin definitely, you know, especially going into the season, tends to be a little more pessimistic and critical of the team, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. But that's just kind of how he is. In other Army football news, Andre Carter had 4 tackles, 2 sacks, and a strip sack force fumble in the Vikings in the recent preseason game against the Eagles. Army also dropped the pregame trailer, and it is awesome. Spent a lot of time reminding folks that we beat UTSA and Air Force last season. Judging by the preseason press, most of America seems to have forgotten. We could lose the national championship game and, you know, go 13-1 and America would forget by the time the next season. So that's not uncommon. It's unfortunate, though. You know, Air Force, for whatever reason, Air Force has been able to market itself, and Air Force always, doesn't matter how many people they have returning, doesn't matter what their schedule look like, Air Force always seems to be ranked, you know, rated, ranked above us, and then, you know, us and Navy are usually neck and neck. Unfortunate, but is the way it is. And then also Mike Buddy threw out the first pitch at a recent Yankees game, which is pretty cool. You know, former Yankees pitcher. James, I know you're a Yankees fan and a Mike Buddy fan. You want to unpack that last one a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had a couple of reunions, I believe, recently along with Old Timers Day, but sounds like he threw out the first pitch, which is cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Dan, I know you watched some of the stuff Ring Weekend. I know you have some friends who have kids in the program and classmates with kids in the program and stuff like that. What's your sense of how things are going, you know, coming out of camp, getting into the academic year?
My good friend, his son is a plebe. So the things that I've heard are that the team watched the FSU Georgia Tech game together as a team on Saturday, which is cool. And a reminder, obviously, that any team can beat any team on any given Saturday. Sure. And also that, you know, right now it's hard as shit for a plebe to travel. Yeah. So those are like Terry's takeaways.
Fair enough. Got it. Okay. Rob, you know, you're our defense guy. You're also Mr. Mindset. You know, where do you think Coach Munkin is at kind of coming off the season that we had going into conference play? You know, what do you think he's trying to, where do you think he's at, and where do you think he's trying to get the team to mentally?
I think it was a return back to the form of Army football. I think with the gun option was what it was last year. We, you know, still produced that offense, but it wasn't as prolific as we used to. Dropped out of the top five in rushing, which is like odd for Army. That's a bad year, you know, when Army is not in the top five rushing category, just, you know, for instance. But I also think, you know, if I was the coach, one of the things that I would be looking at is finishing. And I think that was the biggest problem that we had last season was closing out games. Like, close losses always suck, but close losses when you had the ability to win is even worse. It's different, you know, going into LSU, everybody was upset that, like, oh, we didn't score any points. Well, it's a, you know, it's a SEC team.
LSU.
Yeah, it's LSU. Like, the doggone Heisman Trophy winner was their starting QB, right? So there's a lot of things that go with that. But I think from the perspective of just finishing games, you go back to Boston College, that was a horrible game to lose. And it was execution errors. Those can be cleaned up, but those execution errors, like if it happened in the first half, you have a chance to recover. But when it happens in the second half, you're kind of on your own. And we saw the same thing this weekend with Nevada and SMU. Like, Nevada was in the driver's seat until, you know, a muffed punt. It could go either way, but that really started the chain of events that led to the turnover that, or the safety that ended up getting them the go-ahead touchdown. So I think finishing the game, executing well in the fourth quarter, I think that would be the biggest focus point, particularly against, you know, an FCS school in your conference, you know, going into a conference, because wins and losses matter. Point totals matter even more now that you're in a conference, because if you can have a large margin of victory, that's going to make it more attractive for, you know, the sports writers to say, yeah, Army is like a really good team because they beat, you know, all these dudes by X number of points. Not to say that that will happen, but you have to consider that, or at least go in with that mentality, because if you're finishing games and you're not letting other teams hang window dressing in the fourth quarter, that's going to be the difference. You know, that could be a tiebreaker if, you know, you're going into a conference championship game.
Yeah, and I think one of the themes that we've unfortunately seen in recent years is, you know, Army can sometimes start slow. So you can't start slow and not finish games. You can maybe do one, but you know, you really do need to finish games. So totally agree with you there. We got a couple comments. So for those of you that don't know or listening to this after the fact, we do stream this live. It is Tuesday at 5:39 Central for me, 6:39 Eastern. So we do stream this live to members of our Firstie Club. So we do have a Patreon program. So if you want access to content early to be able to interact with us during the show, you can join our Patreon, asforfootball.com. You can find the information there, and then you can go ahead and comment. So we do have a comment. Corey says that we can smell the pumpkin spice and gunpowder in the air already. Ray says pumpkin spice and gunpowder is Dan's new jam band. Personally, I think it sounds like a really good, like, you know, White Barn, Bed Bath & Beyond candle, personally, you know, pumpkin spice and gunpowder. But, yeah, I guess it could be a jam band, too. That's fine. You know, maybe, yeah, we'll see. So thank you for the comments, guys. Also, other big Army news, Army released their first two deep yesterday. Not really a lot of surprises except for the way they broke the offense out. Admittedly, it looks a little funky when you read it. There are two running backs, one slot back, one wide receiver, and one tight end. One running back is clearly a fullback. That's Kanye Udo, Jake Redina, AJ Williams, all big guys. And then one of the running backs looks like the slot back from the original Flexbone. We have Miles Stewart and Hayden Reed there. The new slot back position looks like a carryover from the slot receiver role in the shotgun shotgun option. That's Noah Short, who's a former wide receiver, and Samari Howard. And then at wide receiver, we have Liam Fortner, Casey Reynolds. Tight ends looks like it's a blocking role with David Croson and Parker Plosky. Maybe we shouldn't read too much into this, but it's definitely interesting. I expect we'll probably see the wide receiver come off the field in favor a little bit of a second tight end or that kind of bigger body, but probably not in week one. Dan, what was your sense kind of reading this roster? I know in our group chat we were kind of going back and forth, and some things made a lot of sense. Other things were kind of a little bit of a head scratcher. We know that Monken likes to do a little trickeration sometimes. Do you think there's some of that playing in, or do you think it's just trying to adjust and modify the offense from last year and trying to figure out what that looks like this year?
I mean, I'm scared to read too much into this, but like I told you off the air, it's fascinating to me that they went away from an explicit fullback slot back breakdown to two sets of running backs.
Yeah.
I'm really, really curious to see if there actually a difference between the running backs and the slot backs. And I mean, the slot backs they've got in here are essentially guys who you would think of as being pass catchers, and maybe they get a carry versus this running backs, you know, Miles Stewart and Hayden Reed. Neither of those dudes are little. I mean, Miles Stewart is 5'10", 188. That's reasonably stout. Hayden Reed, 6 foot, 215. He used to play fullback. I mean, they got potentially, their top five running backs are all stout, could play fullback type guys. And then the guys that they've actually got in the slot could technically be receivers. So I don't know what that means. I am totally curious to see how it will play out.
I agree with you that it's a little weird because, you know, like Coach Drinkle is very proud of the fact, hey, we got fullbacks at Army. And so like to not see that is a little weird. James, do you think that's strange or
perfect? No, I mean, like this format changes every year. They call their linebackers something different every year. They call their different types of running backs something different every year. It doesn't matter. They're going to have a triple option offense. I suspect we'll see a Coastal Carolina type offense where it's the traditional flex bone, but instead of fast blocking or as fast of blocking, you have 300-pound linemen. So it's maybe the line from the beginning of last year with the offensive play calling of 2022 and before. To me, the biggest thing on the biggest things to look into aren't what they're calling the running back or the different positions. It's who's on the roster and who's not on the roster. So as Corey pointed out in the chat, there's no plebes on the roster. That's the first time in a while. Tyrell Robinson's not listed on the roster. The punter is listed as a Cooper Allen from last year or somebody else. And I'm blanking on the name. We have a kicker now, I guess. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his name. But we have a new kicker because we had two senior kickers graduate. So I look more at the names. The positions, you know, they mess with those every year. I won't read it all into that.
Okay. Rob, any thoughts from you?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's Monk and smoke and mirrors. You know, just to be honest, because you want to get any advantage that you can. You know, people are going to be deep diving your roster and looking at, you know, trying to get whatever edge it is, especially if you don't know what the offense is going to look like. So if I put in a whole bunch of different positions, and we know Kanye Udo is going to be a fullback. I mean, where else is he going to go, right? Like, the guy's massive, and he's a tremendous athlete. Could they put him in at running back? Yeah, they probably could, but they're probably not going to. But just how we had that little quick discussion of, like, trying to figure out where this guy is going to be on the field, that's what the defensive coordinator for the opposing team has to do, knowing full well that we shelved the gun option. Like, what if they come out in the gun option in the first formation? Oh, crap, we've been working against the triple option, you know, in the offseason to get ready for this game. And so the reality of it is anything that I can do to throw people off, I'm going to do that. So I don't blame coach for, you know, putting it something like, who puts out a two deep roster? Like, I don't know. What does that mean to me? Like, if I'm a defensive coordinator, it just means I got a whole bunch of big bodies that I got to take care of and create opportunities for my defense. So I think it's going to be, I think it was done by design, you know, just to add a little bit of distraction for the opposing team.
Let's also remember this two deep isn't produced by the coaching staff. Like, this is done by the sports information department. Like, this gets put out by the guys who are watching the practices. It's not the coaches going in and saying, put this guy at number two on the depth chart, you know? So everything goes with a grain of salt. Number one, number two, whether it's the depth chart or what formation they line up in to start the game against Lehigh, like, you have to imagine they're not, you know, they're not going to be showing everything for the rest of the season to an FCS school in week one. So if they show up in the shotgun, very well could be mind games for FAU. I don't know. And none of us will know. So I don't know. Not too much to read into, I'd say.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that Connor Finucane is technically listed as the number one left tackle. I would be shocked if he plays more than a handful of snaps. And who knows, maybe prepare to be shocked. But it just seems like they'll slide Booby Law in there to do most of the heavy lifting.
That is one of those that's listed as an or, not as a starter. So. Yeah.
By the way, the other punter is Cooper Allen and James Wagenseller, and Coach Munkin has said that's going to be, quote, a game time decision as far as who actually gets the starting punting role. Wagenseller is supposed to have a hell of a big leg, so that's, you know, pretty interesting.
Yeah. Long story short, I think we'll see what happens against Lehigh and take it with a grain of salt. We'll have more information than we did, but it's not necessarily good information. So
yeah, I feel like. It's definitely one of those things. Like I said, I'm scared to read too much into it because it's like, what does this mean? Probably nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of getting good information, Dan, why don't you tell us about Craig, who can help our friends in the mortgage, or excuse me, in the home buying process, get a lot of good information about mortgages.
So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago, has sponsored this podcast for a couple of years. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the biggest, most successful VA lenders in the country. He offers super competitive rates. He's really going to try to give you the best deal he possibly can. And the reason is, you know, this mortgage process is confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place. The housing market itself is in flux. You know, you don't want to deal with somebody who's just trying to make a buck off you, who really doesn't care about you, who's just going to shuttle you off to their secretary or an AI system or, you know, who knows what. So Craig is an actual guy. When you go onto his website and give him your phone number, he will physically call you back, give you that kind of service. And friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that you can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet when you're trying to buy a house. And buying a house, frustrating process, right? Plus, Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans. That's a savings of about $1,300. Get that money, friends. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending in New American Funding. His link is on our website. Go to askforfootball.com. He's got a little business card there. You click on it, fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to him in a handful of hours. And I'm telling you, everybody gives him 5 stars.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. All right. Hey, let's get into the meat of this. Let's start talking about Lehigh. So I'll give a quick overview. Dan, you know, I know we haven't done this in a little bit. Dan's offense, Rob is defense, James is special teams. All right. We're going to work around the horn. Everybody has their assignment. So we're going to keep the format consistent, but I know it's been a little bit. So I wanted to remind everybody. So Lehigh head coach Kevin Cahill enters his second season with the team. They went 2-9 last season, 1-5 in the Patriot League. Team did not play particularly well on either side of the ball. They scored 18.5 points per game, allowed 31 points per game. Obviously, you're not going to win a lot of football games with that ratio. They have a handful of fifth-year players, 35 new players to the team, and a pretty young team, according to the coach. So I think that kind of sets us up to start talking about the offense.
So graduate student quarterback Dante Perry stands 6'3" tall, 205 pounds. Last year, he was 66 of 67 passing for almost 300 yards. So almost 300 yards, 53.7% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, took 2 sacks. All of this was in just 5 games. He also carried 13 times for 59 yards. So 4.5 yards per carry, didn't rush for a touchdown. I don't know what to make of that. That's not amazing accuracy, but 5 games, probably mop-up duty for the most part. I wouldn't say that that says he is or isn't good. Running back Luke Yoder had 135 carries, almost 5 yards per carry and 5 touchdowns. That's not too bad, but it's not like amazing amount of production either. And then they've got 2 standout wide receivers, Connor Kennedy, 45 catches for 462 yards, 4 touchdowns, and Jeffrey Jamel, 43 catches for 329 yards and 4 touchdowns. I mean, I'm not saying these guys aren't good, but these numbers don't jump off the page at you. That's a reality.
Yeah. Now on to the defense. Like, they allowed 186 yards per game rushing in 2023. So at 4.5 yards per carry, which isn't terrible, but, they had 21 rushing touchdowns. So that really means that they're playing with a lot of short field. So, like, yeah, we're not giving up a whole bunch of yardage, but we're also way deep on our end of the field, because if they're getting 21 rushing touchdowns, not so great. They allowed opponents to complete 66% of their passing attempts in 2023, which, you know, by Dan's standard, anything over 60% is you're starting to tip into the elite passing category. So your defense is at least collectively letting the opponents get the edge on you. Opponents converted 43% of third downs. That's rough. You know, you've got to be able to get off the field, and especially like looking at the numbers statistically, they probably had a lot of short fields and couldn't get off the field on third down, led to a lot of points. Bottom line is the defense had a pretty tough season last year. Their starting safety, Nick Platikin, led the team in tackles. He had 90 tackles last year, 63 of them solo. If you have 63 solo tackles as a safety, you are putting in the work. So that means they're getting pretty deep on your team. And there, he had 5 passes defense, which is, you know, more in his lane as a defensive back. The linebacker, Mike DiNucci, had 86 tackles, 1 sack, 4 passes defense. Three of the team's top 4 tacklers are linebackers, but their safety leads the way. So that means, you know, 2 things. 1, that guy's probably coming up a lot in run support because they're getting into, you know, the second level. But that also means that, like, the guy that's supposed to be sitting in the middle of the field protecting against the pass is not available. And that makes sense given the numbers that they have. You know, if, like, your safety is the leading tackler and you have 66% completions on passes, that's probably because he's out of position trying to make a play. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it looks like they're a run first defense type leading that way, but it's hard to really get a good assessment with the numbers that they have.
James, special teams and special notes. Sorry.
Special teams. So they do not return their punter this year. You know, your guess is as good as ours as far as who shows up. And then their place kicker, Nick Garrido, does return. He'll be a junior. Last year is 23-24 on PATs and 5 of 8 on field goals.
You want to give us the betting lines?
Yeah, sure. So game kicks off at 6:30 this Friday night. CBS Sports will have the call. I don't think they've announced who is who the announcing team is. We'll have to see later in the week, or if anyone knows, please send that info our way.
Do we know who our new home team or our home announcing crew is, or is it?
I haven't heard anything. Usually they post all that.
Season.
I mean, last year it was sort of a hodgepodge. I think it was mostly, it was kind of a mix of play-by-plays with Ross, but Ross missed a game too. So, I'm unsure as to what the plan is this year. Still primarily the 12 o'clock spot on Saturdays though. And I believe there's one home game that's going to be on an ESPN network rather than CBS Sports. Whereas one road game is going to be on CBS. So they must have done a trade there. That being said, Army opens at -33.5 with the over under opening at 47.5. I did the math earlier today. It's something like 40 to 7 or 40 and change to 7 is what that equates to. So they think that Lehigh will score a touchdown and Army will score around 6 touchdowns. So that's what Vegas is saying. The weather forecast has improved. It was supposed to be showers and thunderstorms. Still a chance, but mid to low 70s at kickoff and mid 60s during the game. They've made some significant changes to traffic around West Point. So that road that used to go where Black Knight Alley was between Lusk Reservoir and Mikey Stadium is no longer. They knocked down the east stands, and that's all construction. So all kinds of new bus routes. Go and check out Army Football Twitter if you're driving to the game. You got to bear with them while they're doing the Mikey Stadium preservation project. But all the info you need is on that Army Twitter site. Black Knight's Alley has been moved from between Lusk and the stadium to over by Chrysler and the practice field. Those sort of auxiliary entrances to the stadium are going to get a lot more crowded this year. So plan for that. Get there early for this night game.
James says party in Lot E. So not my party, but be there in Lot E.
Well, you know, I park in F lot there, and for years and years they've had us coming in through Thayer Gate, but they got us coming in through Stony Lonesome, which is a vast improvement in terms of getting on post. But it does mean that everybody and their brother is going to be driving right through A lot and all the, you know, fancy pants tailgates that are normally there. That ought to be an experience.
It's going to be an interesting couple years until they get the stands built.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's all good, but yeah, we'll see how it is driving in. I mean, there's going to be 15,000 less potential people coming in without one half of the stands in there. But the traffic promises to be kind of interesting, at least at first.
Yeah. Let's get some quick takes on the game. Obviously, we don't know a lot. You know, Army is changing its offense, so a lot of uncertainty around us. FCS team in their second year, a lot of uncertainty around them. There's always that weird dynamic when we're playing an FCS team. Honestly, I'm just kind of in a wait and see. Use this as an opportunity to kind of knock the rust off. It's nice that we have a warm-up game, if you want to put that in air quotes. Hope that doesn't come back to bite us. But I'm really interested to see just what we come out with. But also, like we've talked about, who the hell knows what we're going to run in week one, if that's actually what we're going to run later on. I know I think it was in spring ball, we ran shotgun a lot. So we'll see if that kind of carries through, or if they're just trying something. Who the hell knows? Bottom line, it's Army football on a Friday night. You can't beat it. Dan, what are you thinking?
I mean, mostly, like I said, I'm just thinking that I can't wait to get out there and just like chill, watch the team, stop all this crazy speculation. I am legitimately curious to see how Army's cornerbacks play. If I'm Lehigh, I'm trying to figure out how to get my receivers one-on-one down the field against Army's corners, who are both yearlings. So, you know, that would seem like a good matchup for most teams. And I think those guys are going to have their work cut out for them, at least until they prove that it's not that they're not a liability. But also, a lot of teams try to throw to the you know, quick outs against Army, and that doesn't always work. So I expect Army's going to come out looking good, and I want to see Dwayne Coleman get extended work this week. Like, if it's me, that's what I want.
Yeah. Rob, what are you thinking?
Front seven play, as always. I want to see the offensive line get a good push. I mean, if you're going against the FCS team, you should be able to blow those guys off the ball and get some good rushing yards in. And on the defensive side, should be able to overpower their offensive line. And if it's not through, you know, strength and athleticism, it should be by the scheme. You know, we know Coach Woody will always have a different package ready for them to go, but I'd like to see a lot more pre-snap movement from the defensive line, try and draw people off sides and then get guys in better position to make plays. I think it would be a really good opportunity to kind of get the front seven going, because it, you know, it's always more difficult to make those adjustments downhill. But if you have a good, solid performance in the first game, coach gets a little bit more trust and he gets a lot more comfortable with changing the scheme to benefit the defense. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. James.
Yeah. So I think everyone's mentioned, hey, let's just get some questions answered on offense. I think that also applies to the special teams. So I'm excited to see that. Obviously, I think there's a little bit more to be taken from the game from special teams. We'll see how they perform. And then as far as the defense goes, right, Lehigh, we mentioned that the kicker was 5 of 8 on field goals last year. His long is 41, though, so they basically have to get to the red zone before they can start to feel good about making a field goal. I want to see how Army does in the red zone. I don't know how many opportunities they'll have as a red zone defense. That's one area that Lehigh actually did very well in last year, was red zone offense. So that's my matchup to look for. You know, hopefully the defense knocks off some rust, has a good game, doesn't allow many points. But as far as things to look at in this game on defensive performance, I think red zone defense is a good place to look.
Yeah, good deal. All right. Hey, it's that time. Let's do some fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
James, you did not. I mean, I didn't put one in the outline either. But
I got one for you. One, so
you got one? Okay.
All right.
I'm not bashing you. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Fact or fiction. Bryson Daly leaves the game before the end of the first half.
Fiction.
Yeah, I'm going to say fiction. I think he'll play three quarters, unless it's like really lopsided.
I don't think that they've ever done that. I can't remember a time when they played a quarterback less than a half. I'm trying to – maybe there was that one time they put up like 66-3 against, I think it was Lafayette.
When did they pull the quarterback against Delaware State last year?
I think it was the third quarter, but I wouldn't swear to that. If you know, then just tell me, because I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't know.
I thought he played longer than you'd think.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why, James, what are you thinking?
I'm gonna go fiction.
All right. So we have fiction agreement.
Is that a first time ever on the show?
Yeah.
I think it might be.
Fiction agreement.
Rob, what you got for us?
All right. So I'm going to stick with the run-heavy offense, and I'm going to say Army will pass for less than 50 yards this week.
I say fact. That's no. You know what? No, I don't. I'll say fiction. I think that they throw it a little more than you think, or that they hit one bomb. But anyway, 50 yards is not very much.
No, I'm going to say fiction, too.
I'm going to say fact. It's going to be 49.
Yeah, I think they hit one for like 75 yards on the start of a drive or something. I'd say fiction.
They open the game with a bomb, right? You know, they might do a little run the first play of the game, second play of the game, boom, 70 something yards.
That's what James Pagano said. They're going to open the game 5 wide. That would be amazing.
By the way, a little research. Army pulled Bryson Daly with 1 drive to go in the first half against Delaware State last year, up 36-0.
Huh. Okay.
James, you're no fun when you fact check everybody.
I said fiction. I don't think they will, but they have done it.
So, I mean, would you say Lehigh was going to beat Delaware State? Because I would say Lehigh would beat Delaware State pretty handily. Delaware State was not a good team last year.
Last year, they were both not very good. I think Lehigh's improved this year. But, I don't think we'll be up 36-0 in the first half. And if we are, I'll be happy that I got that one wrong. So.
Fair enough.
That's fair.
I said Army runs for 400 plus yards.
Hey, well, I have to say fact on that one, since I'm going for the less than 50 yards of passing. So fact.
I'm going to say fiction, not to be a Grinch, but I think we're, if the game goes the way it's supposed to, we'll get up a little bit, and then I think we'll probably do some different things. So I'm going to say fiction.
James?
I want to say fiction because I'm hoping that by the third quarter, our third string offensive line is in and we're just not getting the push that we should be getting.
Listen, they're deep at O-line. I think they could put in quite a few
maybe
linemen and still get that push. That's a good O-line team. But right.
I guess then I hope that we're taking 40 seconds off the clock every play so that we don't get anyone hurt.
All right. Anyway, I say fact, obviously. So Rob and I said fact. Jordan and James, you guys are not believers.
That's fine. Corey, thank you for the peanut gallery factor fiction. I'm going to steal that because I did not prepare. So what, Army passes for over 200 yards, factor fiction, Dano.
Oh, no way. That's fiction. Sorry, yeah. Corey. That's a good one, but there's no way.
So Rob, I'm gonna say fiction. So for Jordan and the peanut gallery, fiction.
James,
I think if they have 190 yards of passing, Jeff Munkin will run the ball through the tackles, whether or not they get any yardage, just out of spite in this game.
Okay,
so I'm going fiction. I mean,
it would have to be like six passes for 190 yards, or I mean, right. That's the only way.
If they get even close, he's just going to be upset that they're that good at passing, and he's going to run the ball through the tackles, and he might get a half a yard of play, and he won't care.
I'm agree with you, James. I was going to say fact to this just to, you know, be a bitch, but I'm agreeing with what you're saying. I think Munkin is an angry, bitter man sometimes. So yes, I think that's going to be fiction just because he's going to run it to prove a point. So.
Well, that's twice in the same show, fiction agreement. Like, I don't think this has ever happened.
Yeah, this is what happens when we start a season with a new OC and an FCS team. This is the recipe.
Well, I mean, last time they opened the season, I think against an FCS team was when they had Lehigh, and that was either 2017 or 2018. I'm sorry, not Lehigh, Fordham. And Fordham was supposed to be really good that year. And we were all on the show like, oh, this is going to be a close game. And then they won like 66-0 or whatever and got all those plebs in. You guys remember that game?
Yeah, I do. Because then everybody told us that we were wrong. So, you know. My favorite thing, being wrong. Okay. Hey, if you enjoyed if you wish that you could give some comments, and that maybe since I don't prepare, I would take one of your factor fictions, you can join the Firsty Club. And so the Firsty Club is through Patreon. So if you like Azure football, you want to support the coverage, we could really use your help. Go to patreon.com/AzureFootball to learn more. Also links on the website. At the yearling level, you get our weekly games and locks of the week. If you like to gamble, Cal level, you get that plus a scouting report. That's going to be way more important this year, especially considering that we're in a conference and a lot of new teams. At the Firsty level, you get all that plus access to the Firsty Club. It is a private Facebook group to talk Army football. Try really hard to keep it positive. You get special access to the recordings, shows, stuff like that. We'll have different threads and stuff going on during the game for the Firsty Club. The reality is we spent a lot of money over the last couple of years to improve the show. We're on StreamYard. We have Podcastle AI. We have regular recording times. We're trying to legitimize ourselves as much as possible. All that takes time and money. So anything you can do to appreciate anything that you can do to support would be very much appreciated. Thank you. Dano, you can close us out with the favorite thing.
Yeah, so my favorite thing is just that football is back. And like I said, I'm, God, so ready. But also, this is probably the last time we're going to talk about this, but you may have noticed that Azure Football now has a blue check on Twitter. It makes us able to live stream Roundtable Possible over there. That's being covered by our new blue check sponsor, Ray Kimball. Ray asked us to push Scouting America, formerly the Boy Scouts of America, thank you for his blue check. And so, like, I can only tell you guys, your local Scout Council now supports programs for all youths ages 5 to 21 that emphasize character development, citizenship, personal fitness, and leadership development. I think we can all agree that those are things that Army fans can get behind. To find a Scout unit closest to you, go to beascout.org. If you can't get behind beascout.org, are you sure that you're really a West Pointer?
Probably not. I mean, hey, so, do your thing, but probably not.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, go. That's and Ray, thank you very much. As for football is growing, James says, yeah, as for football is growing, we had a very successful offseason. It helped us a lot that the lacrosse team was awesome. And that we were able to cover them and get people excited about that. And now football's here, and the football team looks like they're going to be awesome, and I'm super excited. So, yeah, now's the time to jump on board, and thank you, everybody.
Oh, I got one thing, too.
Thanks, everybody.
I'm going to jump in
real
quick and just plug Roundtable, too. Now that we do have the blue check and we can do Roundtable live, like, that's been awesome. We've been getting some really great guests, and if you're not checking that out, like, it's a good show. And I appreciate the effort that everybody's put in to come on the show and just make it happen. I mean, that's part of the reason why we've had the growth was because of the off-season participation. And so keep pushing it. We thank you guys for that.
Yeah, we really do appreciate everybody who supports us for football. So thank you for all that. Thank you for your loyalty in the off-season to us and to Army. And we're looking forward to this year. So go Army, beat Lehigh.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, cheering in the stands, following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy.